Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. And if you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener Podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Now let's get growing. Now it's my first sponsor, Robin Kellison from the Good Seed Company. Welcome, Robin.
Yay! Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and very happy to be your sponsor. We have a large variety of locally adapted, open-pollinated, non-GMO vegetable, flower, and herb seeds, and we hope you'll enjoy visiting our website, goodseedco.net or Good Seed Montana, and seeing the resources that we offer for becoming a better gardener, a better seed saver, and a member of building resiliency around food in your community.
Welcome to the show today. I am stoked to introduce this guest because he is just going to inspire everybody. I know he's young, super young, just I guess you're probably still a millennial, but he's only, well, I guess I'm going to let him tell you that part. He was 14 when he started this project. I found him because one of my guests was talking about Michelle Obama's I think it's called Fit Moves or her program with the kids in school. And I went to her website and he had commented on her website or her Twitter feed or Instagram or somewhere saying he wanted her to come visit his garden. And I totally hope Michelle Obama goes and visits his garden. I'm also hoping she does an interview with me on my podcast, Dreaming. If anybody's got any connections to Michelle out there, my guest today. So let me introduce you. So his name is Devin Juros. And how old are you now? Welcome to the show, Devin.
Thank you.
And so how old are you now? You were 14 when you started this project.
I was actually 11 when I started to think through the idea.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm now 14.
Oh, now you're 14. Okay. So, well, I love that because I tell people a lot. I was right about 11 or maybe even just 9. I think, I don't know, I was in fourth grade when I read a book that about a little girl in Montana, and that's what made me move to Montana, and I've been here for 25 years at least now. And so I just think that when you're young like that, it's a great time to start. You're never too young to start making your dreams happen. And so... Yeah. You started young and now you're 14. And so you created this amazing community garden in response to helping feed the hungry. You were saying, so you're in Westchester, New York, right?
Yeah, Westchester.
And it said on the video I was listening and watching that there's 200,000 hungry people still in that area, and that surprised you, and that's kind of where the idea stemmed from. You know what? I'll just shut up. Go ahead and tell us.
Yes. So it was kind of two things combined. During research, I found that, like you said, 200,000 people, which is about 20% of people in Westchester, were affected by hunger. And I just didn't really think that was fair because there's a lot of richer people in Westchester, people that have a lot, but then there's so many people that didn't even have enough to eat at night. So I just really wanted people to know and understand that and to be able to help fight that problem in Westchester. And then also through my church, we do Midnight Run, which is we send food into the city to help people in New York City that don't have enough food, people who are out on the streets, homeless people, and that just also just opened my eyes to the hunger that was around me, and I just didn't see really the reason why these people had to be hungry while I could have food at night. So that's really where the idea came from.
Okay. And then tell us the gardening connection. How did you get into, instead of just being here's some processed TV dinners or canned food, how'd you come up with the garden part?
Well, I actually started gardening with my father when I was very young. We did flowers, herbs, some vegetables. But that really just introduced me to gardening. And then the other thing I found during my research was that most food pantries get a lot of the boxed foods, the canned goods, things that last a long time. Mm-hmm. But they have to have a lot of sugar and salt in them so that they last a long time. So they're not as healthy for the people. So a lot of people who have to go to pantries, they don't get a lot of vegetables, and they wouldn't be able to buy it because vegetables and fruits are so much more expensive. So
that,
that's why
I think is true.
Yeah. And they also taste better too. So we just, I saw this problem and I really wanted to be able to bring this fresh food to people. Like I said, it tastes good. I mean, I just loved having vegetables, the freshness, and I wanted other people to be able to have that as well.
Nice. That is just the most wonderful story. Okay, so you already got my first question about the gardening experience. So do you want to tell us, like, how you learned how to grow organically, garden organically, and do it that way?
It was more that, like, so my father and I, when we were growing in our garden at home, we just never really used the pesticides and everything. We just gardened organically, just using good soil, good compost. We have a composter at our house. And definitely with the garden, we do that as well. We try not, I mean, as we're bringing this fresh food to these people that really need it, so using chemicals and pesticides in our garden doesn't make sense, to be bringing them food that has this harmful substance over it.
Excellent. Oh, you're a great guest already. I can tell listeners are excited. All right. So do you want to tell us about something that grew well in your garden this year?
Yes. In our garden, we, for the last 2 years, grew tomatoes. And these are the largest tomato plants I have ever seen. Ours grew probably about 7 feet high.
No way.
We have to get these long stakes, put them in the garden, and then tie them as they grow up. Mm-hmm. Although they always end up falling down because they grow so well in our garden. So we definitely got a couple hundred pounds of tomatoes from just a dozen plants.
Wow, that's a lot of tomatoes. So now what kind of beds are you growing them in then? Or what do you think like led to that? Do you know, or maybe that's
the why they grew so well?
Yeah.
Well, we have our garden in a really sunny part of where it is. Mm-hmm. So I think they definitely get a lot of sunlight, which helps them. And then we really try to get good soil. Because while we were working on the idea of the garden and meeting with people, somebody we met with said that like the main thing you want to focus on that can impact your growing is how good the quality of the soil is.
Yeah.
That will help like the plants grow, keep the bugs away, keep the plants healthy. Mm-hmm. So we get really good soil and compost from a local farm. And I think that really just helps them to just grow really well.
Excellent. All right. How about, is there something you're excited to try different this new year coming up?
Yes. We have done this in the past. We grow peppers for our garden because some of the pantries that we grow for in the area, they have a larger Hispanic population that use the pantry. And when we met with the pantries, they told us that when they are able to give peppers with whatever they're giving them, it just makes it easier for them to use it. They're more likely to use whatever they're giving. So we're trying a couple different types of peppers this year, jalapenos, some bell peppers, some sweet peppers. So we're hoping that those grow really well.
I think that's awesome advice for people out there listening that to go and ask. I just have to ask you, so were like you nervous at all going to a food pantry? Because like, I don't know, I just think people probably get a little nervous about like approaching places like that. What gave you the confidence to reach out to them, especially someone young like you?
To reach out to see if we could donate to the pantries?
Yeah.
I think it was more, I didn't feel uncomfortable because I just really wanted to bring the food to the people.
Cool.
That's we just perfect. Wanted to make sure that the food got there, because by this time we had thought through the idea of that we wanted to grow the vegetables. We wanted to grow the food for people that really needed it. So it was just getting that piece of where we can bring the vegetables and how we could give it to the people.
Now, did you say you work with more than one food bank?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you find these other food pantries or food banks?
Well, I can tell you about the main place that we donate to is sure. Hillside Food Outreach. Mm-hmm. It's a great pantry. They have multiple locations, and they actually they donate the food. They drive the food to people that need it.
Wow.
So that's for people who have multiple jobs, who have a disease or a sickness, and they're bedridden. Okay. So they couldn't get to a traditional pantry where you go to the pantry and take the food and bring it back with you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a great system that they actually bring the food to these people that really need it. Most of our food goes to Hillside Food Outreach.
Mm-hmm.
I think we give about 25% to 30% of their total produce needs. And
wow.
They donate to, I think, 2,400 people across Westchester.
Wow.
So it's really great that we've been able to work with them and give them such a large amount of what they need for produce.
That's excellent. Okay. Do you want to tell us about something that maybe didn't work so well this season, that like didn't go the way you thought it was going to maybe, or you had some challenges with?
Mm-hmm. What didn't grow as well this year was squash for us. We had a problem with an airborne mold that unfortunately kind of killed the squash like halfway through the season. We want to still use it, so we're trying to find ways that we can get rid of the mold.
Okay. I know one guest I had talked a lot about like kind of tying the plants up. I think it was Mary Frances Harris, who's kind of near you. I went to high school with, and she's in New Jersey. But that's probably more a mold that's on the ground. If you have an airborne mold, I don't know. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
And you probably are looking into it, but I was thinking that that was one of the big things they said was, when your like leaves of your squash plants were down on the ground, to try to like keep that, anything that gets wet and moist, like kind of clean up, pick off those lower branches.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I don't know if that helps at all. Okay. So what's your least favorite activity in the garden? Like, is there something you have to force yourself to get out there and do?
I think it's more not forcing myself to do it, but I just, probably the least favorite thing that I would do is watering.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think I really like just getting into the dirt and working with the plants.
Mm-hmm.
So watering just isn't as exciting for me.
And watering's really time consuming. It takes a lot of time.
Definitely. But it isn't. Definitely important, though.
Yes. So then on the flip side, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden? Digging in the dirt? Or?
Yeah, like I said, definitely digging in the dirt. Being able to work with the soil. So probably planting. And then just being able to see, like, that little seed that you put in the ground, like, seeds sprout and then grow into an actual plant. I just find that amazing. How that can happen and the fruit that it can give, just all coming from that one seed at first.
Now, how many beds do you have in this garden? Like, how big is it? Tell us about, like, the size of the place. I've kind of seen pictures on the website, but...
Mm-hmm. The total size of the garden is 600 square feet.
Wow.
We are located at a local church. Pleasantville is... a nice town, but it has a lot of houses and not that much land. So basically, the church was the only place with land left in Pleasantville. But we were very gracious that we were able to use that land. So we have that 600 square foot piece of land and about 300 square feet, about half of the garden is growing space, wherever beds.
Nice. So what's in the other space then? Just like lawn or places to play or bushes or...
Just pathways. We have, there's a lot of deer in
Really?
the area, in our area. So we decided we have to build a fence.
Yep.
We have, it's about 6 feet high. That was like the main cost for the garden.
Oh, okay.
We had to pay about $9,000 for the building of the garden, but that was just to keep all the pests out and make sure that we could grow everything.
Wow. So where'd you come up with $9,000?
That was the first like 2 years of the project. Like I said, I started when I was about 11. We decided we had to gain support and raise money. Mm-hmm. So first we met with local people in the community about our idea. I'd never done anything like this or thought about anything like this. And neither had my dad on anything like this. So we had met with local people involved with gardens or landscaping. And we had talked with them to find out that this idea really was possible, idea of building a garden in Pleasantville so that we could grow food for the local food pantries. So once we realized that we were actually going to do it, we had to raise support from the community. So we went to like local events, we held booths, we gave out our information, we signed up people, and we just like tried to raise support and awareness from the community about hunger in Westchester, and then try to get people to support our project. And we categorized that support by signing up people's emails. So they would give us their email so that we could send out blasts of emails to all of our supporters, telling them about what we were doing in the garden, or that we needed volunteers, or just telling them how much food we'd donated so far to the pantry. So that was the way we got about 600 people on our email list by the time we'd built the garden. And then we had to raise money, of course. And we knew we had to raise about $9,000 to build this garden that would last a long amount of time and be able to produce food for the pantries for many years. So for fundraising, we applied for a grant. We got a $4,000 grant. And then we also fundraise in the communities. We approached people that we knew, our friends and family. But then we also held little events to raise money so that we could raise that extra $5,000 so that we could actually build the garden. So I have to say that was like a really amazing experience for me. It showed me like how organization works, how you have to gain support, and how methodical it is, and how you have to work through every step. You can't take any shortcuts. So I thought that was really interesting and amazing. But we finally raised the $9,000. And in 2014, about May and June, we built the garden over 2 weeks, two weekends. First weekend, we had about 30 people from the community come out to help us with the building. We got up the posts for the fence and just kind of cemented them down and got everything ready. And then it was amazing. The second weekend that we built the garden, we had over 70 people come.
Oh my goodness, I thought you were going to say less. 30 sounded like a huge number.
Yeah.
No, you're just amazing. I know a listener, I can hear they're just going, wow, look what this guy did. I can't believe it. Okay, keep going. I won't interrupt.
But it was really amazing. We had people of all ages, from I think it was 4 to like 80 or something. We just had it was very multi-generational, which we tried to make sure that we included people of all different ages so that for the years to come, we could still have a steady flow of people coming and make sure that everybody's involved from the community. So like I said, we had 70 people come that day. We had people nailing in posts building the beds, and then we had like all these little kids running around with buckets of gravel and dirt.
Oh.
It was really funny. But we worked probably for like 3 or 4 hours, maybe more that day. But we finished the garden and we got everything planted. So that was how we got it built. And it was, like I said, it was just an amazing experience. Starting from when I was 11 years old, just the whole lead up, and then just to see like all of what I'd worked for coming into existence with this garden, it was just an amazing experience.
Well, you're an amazing person. I mean, I just think people are gonna listen to this and be like so excited, and you're so generous and just like a real man of service, and you make it sound so easy, and I know it wasn't that easy. I'm sure it was a lot more work than you're even remotely letting on, but I think just your positive energy and just the fact that you felt like you were making a difference and gonna change people's lives and have such a big impact must have helped you keep going, because I'm sure there were a lot of days where you were like, oh, I wish I could just go play baseball with my friends. And you know, you're just really dedicated to carry all this through. So, so when was that? Was that like in the spring and then you planted everything even then? Or that's just building the garden over those 2 weeks? I can't believe you got that all done. And you're like, oh, and maybe 3 or 4 hours. Are you sure about that? Was it more like 8 or 9 or 12?
It was probably longer, but it was still... It was really great how many people came. And
yeah, well, I think that did it maybe help.
So yeah.
All right. So then that's including planting the seeds that day, or then did you go back and plant the seeds another day? And that was what I was going to ask you. Did you start things from seeds, or did you start from like plant starts?
What we found, and we've kind of continued this, we grow some things from seeds. Sorry, we start some things indoors, like peas.
Oh, you do?
Early peas, just because we want to get into the garden as fast as possible so we can be able to grow as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But with most of our other plants, like our squash and lettuce and everything else, mm-hmm. we found that growing from seed works better. The plants grow faster.
Mm-hmm.
The plants are healthier. That's kind of what we found with our garden.
Yeah. And that's probably, no, so today is March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 2016, for listeners. Are you guys planting in New York? Like, our ground, I bet you could, I have spinach coming up, mm-hmm. but that's from last year. We haven't put any seeds in the ground other than we planted, like, some clover cover crop. Have you started planting yet this year?
Yes, we actually have. Last weekend, it's been fairly warm here. We've gotten out of the frost mainly. So we planted our peas last weekend.
Excellent. Okay. Now, wait, you planted the peas indoors or outdoors?
This year we planted some from seed outdoors, but then we're going to put more actual plants in a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Those are some of the first things we put in the ground. I think we usually get closer to Earth Day before we can plant anything in the ground here. But don't quote me on that because I'm not positive. I'd have to look in my little journal thing.
No, I think same. We usually have to wait longer. But this was such a weird winter that, like, it was really cold, but then it got warm. So we were able to get in earlier this year.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, so Devin, what's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
The best gardening advice that I've received is to grow things far apart. This was also when we were talking to people towards the beginning of the project.
Mm-hmm.
Because the main goal of our garden is to grow as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to give as much food as possible to the people in need, the food pantries. So we were talking with this local farmer, and he told us that although you want to grow a lot, growing like 500 lettuce plants in a couple of feet is not going to provide as much as spacing them out. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do with all of our plants. that's also probably one of the reasons why our tomato plants grow so big, because we do like a foot in between each plant. Huh? So it is. It's like you're losing. It's like a balance because you're losing all that space that you could be planting seeds. Mm-hmm. But the plants grow so much bigger. They're healthier. They have room to grow so that they can produce more vegetables. And that's really worked for our garden, I think.
You're absolutely right about that. And, you know, that's funny because that same Mary Frances Harris, I remember her saying, make sure you take pictures because you always want to plant more and you forget how big the plants are going to grow.
Yeah.
And so it's good to, like, the next year to remember, oh, yeah, that little itty-bitty squash plant's going to get really, really big and take up a lot more room. And then it's also true, like, you know, when you plant, it's, like, always hard for me to thin things. You know, I always feel bad when my carrots are close and radishes and beets and stuff. Yeah. But then if you don't thin them, you end up throwing them away and nothing's going to grow. So excellent advice. So what's your favorite tool? Like, if you had to move or start all over and you could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
That's hard. I would say, like I said, I just usually just work with my hands because I like using the soil. But I guess maybe just a shovel to take out weeds, a small shovel. Like when we have to start growing again in the spring, sometimes we'll have these like giant mangled weeds just growing everywhere, and it's much nicer when you have a nice shovel to take it out.
Yeah. I had a guest who said their hands once. She said that was her favorite tool. She liked to do that. And I think, you know, that's a sign that you're using raised beds to me because in our raised beds, I know that it's easier to use your hands in the soil. Like some listeners might be like, how is he doing that? Because when you have beds in the ground, directly in the ground and don't have raised beds, I find it's harder to use your fingers to dig as much. Whereas our beds that are the raised beds places, that soil is just so soft and so easy to, you know, dig out to put your starts in or whatever you're doing, that your hands work better.
Yeah, and the raised beds, I think, really make it easier, at least for us and our purposes, because it allows people to, like, it makes it easier to work in the beds.
Yes.
It's easier to put new soil in there. It just makes everything more enclosed, so it's, like, you know exactly where the beds are, where you're going to be planting, so I think it definitely helps us.
Yep, I'm a big proponent of raised beds. I want my husband to go build my mom some because I think she's never been as big of a vegetable gardener because she never had the ease of raised beds that he spoiled me with. Do you do any cooking? Do you have a favorite recipe from the garden? Or maybe you say, here, Mom, make this for me.
We don't, like I said, since we donate all the food, do not... We donate all the food from our garden to the pantry.
But do you grow a garden? Like, does your dad still garden at home at all? Or just
yes, we do have a garden at home. And definitely, like, we just grow, like, some peas. Our yard's kind of small, so we can't grow as much. We grow peas. Sometimes we can grow squash or zucchini. We're also able to grow rhubarb, which my dad made me a rhubarb pie, which was... very delicious. So I think that would definitely be my favorite recipe.
I like that. You're the first one that said that. So was it just rhubarb or like strawberry rhubarb? Or did he put anything in it?
Strawberry rhubarb.
Uh-huh. Excellent. My husband's always trying to get me to make him one of them. I haven't tried it yet, I don't think. Or maybe I'm more like of a crisp girl or, you know, like, I don't know. What's it called? Rhubarb. Is that it? Blueberry crisp or strudel or some kind of thing like that. But yeah. Cool. I like that. All right. And what do you like to eat with squash or zucchini? Do you eat those things?
Yeah. We sometimes make a quiche or we do breaded zucchini slices.
Ooh, nobody's talked about that yet.
Yeah, but I think it's... That's another reason, like, that I wanted to move towards gardening is because my mom cooks so much with vegetables and just makes fun stuff. So I definitely liked vegetables, and that got me interested in doing something with gardening.
Excellent. Okay, cool. So I've been subbing actually in the fifth grade this week and with the middle schoolers a lot. And so I've been like, and at the middle school where I work, the fifth graders all have Chromebooks. And then I think like even like my granddaughter who's in ninth grade, she gets to take hers home. I don't know when they get to start taking them home, but the fifth graders have access. They have like these little Chromebooks in all their class they can go. And so it's been so fun. And they even like their teacher had this really cool thing. She called it Twitter. So they didn't actually get on Twitter, but they had like these little books and they had to like each day they had to write a little thing in there. It had to be positive. And then they had to put a, like a little hashtag next to it. So I'll bet you have some cool internet research. And then what did they show me? The best app the seventh and eighth graders come up with yesterday was called FaceSwap. But that looked pretty fun. Have you seen FaceSwap?
I think I have, yeah.
And so, like, you take a picture of, like, a gang of you, and then, like, somehow she just pushed a button in an instant. All of a sudden, like, you know, the person on the left's face is on the person on the right or in the middle, and just their faces all swapped. It was really cute. So what's your favorite internet resource? Not that that has anything to do with gardening, but.
Do you mean, like, for social media, like how we talk about it, our project to the community?
Well, I'll take that as well, but like what's your favorite? Do you have a place like you go to learn about gardening? But actually that would be perfect if you have something about how you share on social media. Because then people could learn how to learn on social media the same way. I mean, it's if you're sharing other people. I'm using my hands to describe it. Nobody has any idea what I'm doing. Anyway, tell us what you got.
So we use Facebook and Instagram are our two main ways that we promote the garden, and we try to post things about what we're doing, how much food we've donated, our hunger in Westchester, things to just get people interested in our project. We also like ask for volunteers, things like that, and we also have a website, pivogarden.org, where we explain the project and what we're doing to hope that people can learn about us and want to get involved. That's the main goal.
Okay, and I'm just gonna spell that for listeners. It's just pville garden.org, right?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, and are you on Snapchat? I just got on Snapchat this weekend.
I do not have that, no.
Okay, well, maybe down the line when you get on it, look me up, the Organic Gardener Podcast on Snapchat. I'm trying to get onto that this year. For me, social media is a challenge. It just seems like, I don't know, I try to commit to putting the time in, and I just think if I could just do it like, you know, Instagram and Twitter like 3 days a week, and Facebook. Facebook 3 days a week, and I'm always on Facebook, but I don't know, maybe my new iPhone I'll get to posting more this summer. But
I think it's definitely important to use, at least for our project, we find it important to use social media to show people what we're doing, and I think a lot of people use it so that it gets you a lot of marketing and it gets your name out there into the community. And then also your other question, what we use, I use Instagram sometimes to learn about just how people are gardening. I'll contact other gardeners and just find out information about how they do things so that we can try to make what we're doing with our garden the best it can possibly be.
I love it. Perfect. How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine, or is there like a blog that you can recommend or you like to go to?
Well, actually, the website that we get seeds from, which is Johnny Seeds, they have, when you buy seeds, they have a great description of the plant, how it'll grow, the watering it needs, the sunlight it needs, when you can harvest. It just has like a great resource of information for everything that we're going to be growing.
Yeah, excellent. All right, so you don't really have a business, but you have a nonprofit. So do you have any advice for listeners on how to sell maybe, or how to donate, or how, just how to get started with a community garden? I mean, you gave us a lot of advice in the beginning, but is like, there anything you forgot there or want to add to it?
I think, like I said, it's just really important to go through every step. Like I said, not taking any shortcuts. To be honest, like, we could have probably just raised a couple $100s from our friends and put some seeds in the ground and gotten it started. Mm-hmm. But we didn't. Like I said, it was about a year and a half to 2 years that we took. Took a lot of time, but we took all that time to gain support, to go through the right channels, work with people in the community, with the town of Pleasantville, with different groups, to make sure that when we started the project, when we started gardening and everything like that, that we had enough supporters that we would be able to sustain and have enough support while we were growing.
Excellent. I think that's so important. You know who you remind me of? And when I first started my podcast, like, I think it's like episode 7 or 8, I talked to this guy, Abe Long from Rosebud, Oregon, and he ran the community garden there. And you remind me a lot of him. Yeah, but you've had just great advice, and that's so true. And just not be impatient, which is interesting to find in a young man like you. At least when I was your age, I was so impatient. Like, a day felt like a week, and a week felt like a month, and a month felt like even like 2 weeks would feel like a year to me now. So good for you for, and that's great to, like, you know, that you took the time and united all those different groups of people and were willing to talk to everybody and then put it all together. And then I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding that you had all those volunteers show up on one day. That's a lot of people.
Definitely.
So, ready for the final question?
Of course.
Okay, here we go. If there's one change you would like to see Devon to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about, or a project you'd like to see put into action? Which your project that you've got right there kind of really answers all of this. But if you have something different, or if you just want to talk more about your own project. But what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
I think definitely deforestation is a really big issue. Just taking down all the trees, which is destroying habitats of animals and organisms, and then also making the air quality poor. So I think that's a really big issue. But I also think that gardening and growing more gardens, and making sure that people know where food is coming from, and how important it is to grow food and grow vegetables. I think that's a way to make the world a greener place, definitely.
Okay. You are just an amazing young man, and just already at such a young age making such big change for your community. I mean, I can't believe, did we tell the people the statistics of like how much food you grew and donated, how many pounds? I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
Okay, you're gonna you better tell everybody that, how much food you're growing in this like little garden.
So for the first year of 2014, mm-hmm. Which was, we started, like I said, we built in the spring. We grew 500 pounds of produce from our garden. And then we also, and this has been going on since, we also work with local organizations we work at the farmer's market. Hmm. And we collect vegetables, leftover vegetables at the end.
Really?
And I think that it's really important that we do that. I mean, this is vegetables that would just go to waste or be turned into compost, but we're able to take it and bring it to the people in need. So that's a great way that we were able to take that resource and convert it into food that people could really use. So we also got another 1,000 pounds from that and other organizations in 2014. So after that year, we donated 1,500 pounds of food.
Wow.
And then last year, we grew more. we grew more in our garden. Last year we grew and donated 600 pounds from our garden of fresh food. And then we also worked with the food pantry year round. And we worked with other local organizations to do like fresh food drives is what we called it.
Wow.
But instead of trying to collect canned food and boxed food, just having people bring fresh food so that the pantries can get the fresh food, which is so hard for them to really get. So last year we donated over 11,000 pounds of food.
11,000?
Yep.
Holy cow! That's huge, and that's a big increase. So that really shows how far you can go in just an extra year.
Yes, our goal. So the first year we donated 1,500 pounds, and our goal for 2015 was 3,000 pounds, which I think we met within 3 or 4 months. So we knew that it was definitely going to be a good year.
Wow. So your goal last year was 1,500 pounds, was 3,000 pounds. So that's like, that's almost four times as much. I mean, 12,000 would be four times, and you're almost there. That's over three times as much as your goal, which is twice, your goal is twice what you did the year before. I mean, that's just incredible numbers. Okay. Well, do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden besides all these amazing things that you've told us?
I think it's really that, just that you really can do anything that you try to put your work into. With the garden, when I started it, like I said, I was like 11 years old. So like seeing from then to what we've done now, I could have never imagined that it would grow into what it is. And donating over 11,000 pounds in just a year, like I could have never imagined that we'd have that kind of success. And I don't think you can always imagine that. You can't always think that's going to happen, but you have to just go with your heart and what you know, and just see like a problem in society and just try to fix it. So like I said, I saw hunger and the lack of fresh food. So I saw that gardening was the best way to do that. So I think just, yeah, like I said, following your heart and then also working with other people, because I could have never done on my own what was accomplished. Starting out working with my family and then working with people in the community, with groups, with the town, we've really just had an amazing amount of support. We've had hundreds of people involved in different aspects of the project. So just to know that you're not doing this by yourself, you can have other people to work with you, and working with people just makes it so much easier because you have somebody who can work through ideas with you, make sure everything you're doing is plausible and feasible, and it can just really make the process just go so much smoother.
Wow. So I just have to ask, and if you don't want, I can edit this out, but like, what do you want to do in the future? Like, do you want to be president someday? I'd probably vote for you today, but you got to be 35, I suppose. But like, you know, where do you want to go?
I'm definitely not sure yet, but I feel like the nonprofit has definitely become very interesting to me. Like I said, I've learned a lot through this process about how to raise support, how to raise money, how to work with people, how to do public speaking. Like, all of these skills I've learned through the project, and I just find it interesting how a nonprofit has to make everything work together. I think it's just really interesting. I definitely see myself continuing in gardening. Like I said, I think it's amazing how the seed grows into a plant, and it's just an amazing experience, I think, to see something that you make grow into something that you can eat, something that you're using in your life. I just think that's like really amazing how that can happen.
Perfect. Okay, tell listeners one more time how to connect with you. Like, where do they find your website again and you on social media?
Yep, our website is pvillegarden.org, P-V-I-L-L-E garden.org. And then our Facebook page is just Pleasantville Community Garden. Same with our Instagram page is just Pleasantville Community Garden. And then we recently made a Twitter page for the garden as well, which is Pville, like I said, P-V-I-L-L-E garden. So you can contact us on any of those ways or send us an email at info@pvillegarden.org.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much today for sharing your incredible knowledge and just taking some time to talk with me, and keep up the great work. And I know you're going to inspire listeners, and they're just going to be really glad that you're out there changing our world. No problem. I hope some people donate to you. Maybe it could be their Earth Day thing if they're not doing anything else for Earth Day. Donate to the pvillegarden.org.
Definitely. And thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Oh my goodness. It was awesome. This is Jackie Marie Beyer, and I am just hoping that you're as excited to be learning and gardening this spring as I am. And so I'm really wondering what you're up to this spring. And I'm super excited to announce that I am finally going to launch my Facebook group, the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group. So I really want to hear about your journey, and I really hope that you will come there and share your questions, your successes, your challenges, your pictures, your, you know, connect with the other listeners in the audience, and, you know, what's your vision for the future, or what's your vision for your garden, for your organic oasis? You know, are you planting flowers? What are you doing? You know, what project are you taking on this spring, this summer? You know, I really want to learn, you know, what do you want to know? Is there, you know, what kind of guests do you like? You know, who have you enjoyed? Who would you like to hear more of? You know, what topics are you really enjoying? You know, is it raising honeybees or planting perennials, or, you know, what kind of seeds are you looking for? You know, are they annuals, perennials? You know, what kind of vegetables, what kind of herbs are you planting? What flowers? Do you have any questions that we can answer? You know, what guests have you liked the most? You know, so what is there something you want me to find out? Like, I'm really going to try to be as active in Facebook, the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook page, and the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group. So, you know, if you're interested in, you know, learning more and reaching out and connecting with other people, you know, especially, you know, the great thing about it is all of a sudden, you know, you might meet three people who are in your area. Just like since I started my podcast, you know, I met Robin Kelson and Laura Behenna. So it was so fun to see them last week. And Pamela Lund, who, if you haven't heard her episode, she's just got a great story. You know, well, Robin's been in the top 10 since she aired. But to meet these, you know, people, and then I went to the Aero Conference and met more people that are living locally near me here in Montana that I never knew till I started my podcast. And so if you join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group, you'll probably meet people in your area. And then maybe I'll be able to find some people from the other states, because I think I'm up to like state 20 or 21 still. So there's still more states that I haven't interviewed people from than states that I have. One of these days I'm going to read that list and try to get some people, some listeners. Listeners always make great guests. I think you've all got more knowledge than you think to share, and some answer that somebody else has been looking for. So if you want to come on and share your gardening journey, you know, I'm always looking. But today I really want to talk about, you know, join our group. You know, let me know, what can I do for you? Even if you don't want to do the Facebook thing, I totally understand. Or if you have another channel that you like, you know, reach out to me, email me, go to the website. You know, you can connect with me. There's the get in touch page. There's a listener survey on there where you can, you know, which basically is just easy questions about, you know, what's your biggest challenge that I can help you with. But just most of all, I hope if you want to, you will come join the Facebook group, connect with me, and just let's change the world together. Thanks for listening, and remember to